God, it sustains us, it keeps us, it causes us to grow, and without the Word, we're nothing, right? And Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. And I invited Stephen to come out tonight, and he's my cousin, and I wanted him to come out here and preach the Word tonight, and I felt led of the Lord to ask him to do that, and I'm so excited to hear what God has laid on his heart. But I'm not sure if Carmela had a song. I'll go ahead and, okay, sorry about that. All right, and I'll go ahead and call you up here. Come on up, Brother Stephen, hallelujah. And I don't know if you like to stand up here. I usually stand down here and preach however you want to do it. Praise, give him a hand clap, and let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord. Amen.
It's good to be in the house of God tonight, isn't it? I'm so proud of my cousin Sam. He's done a wonderful work for the Lord. It's always been in his heart. I've known him ever since he was first born, and he's always been the same person. That's important to me. I heard somebody get up the other day and tell about our pastor, where I go to church, and told that he was the same person ever since he knew him, you know, from his youth, and that just means a lot. To let you know that somebody's heart is really in there and really for the Lord. I have my brother-in-law here with me and my sister, and I would just like for him to testify right quick, if that's okay.
Praise the Lord.
It is a privilege for me to say that I love Jesus.
Amen.
And the day that we live in is becoming increasingly hard for people to be able to settle on that point.
Yeah.
There's so many things that are offered to them as replacements for a comfort that comes from the Lord. So therefore, we have generations where they're coming up and a lot of folks don't know him because they don't know him. They don't know his peace. Because they don't know his peace, they don't know his love. Because they don't know his love, they can't be thankful for it. And I'm so glad this evening to know that there's a God that loves me.
Yes.
I'm glad to know this evening, Lord, that there's a God that cared enough for me.
Amen. Thank you for that. He's more like a brother to me than my brother-in-law. He's really helped me in my hardest times in my life, and I appreciate that for him. Guys, I want to talk to you tonight about the plan of God. And when I say the plan of God, I'm not talking about God's overall plan, but I'm talking about the individual plan for each one of our lives. How many know that there's a greater call than just little old me? There's a greater purpose. God truly does have things in store for all of us. I was telling the other night at church that God's put enough talent in us for 10 lifetimes. Amen. If we would just push past that uncomfortable feeling, you know, past our comfort zone, there's things we'll find out about ourselves that we never knew were there. You know, the first thing God does, he calls on us. Then he qualifies us. Amen. And after we're qualified, it's then when we become useful to his plan that he has for us. God's thoughts and ways are so much higher than our thoughts and our ways. If you'll turn to Judges chapter 6, verse 14 through 16. This is the story of Gideon, and we'll just read here. And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And he said unto him, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." So God calls on us, and what's the first thing we do? We start making excuses. Look what Moses done. Moses said, God, I can't even speak plain. Moses turned out to be one of the greatest leaders in the Bible. This is your maker that you're talking to. He knows you better than you know yourself. He created every cell in your body. He knows what you're capable of. So when he calls on you, he knows that you're capable of doing the job. A couple of reasons why we do this is sometimes we just simply don't believe we can. We just simply do not believe we're able to do what he's calling us to do. And another reason for our excuse is we don't want to change, because we know that in order to change, something has to die. And usually it's this fleshly will. I'm going to go to Judges chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now, it's not the easy things in life that change us. It's not the easy things that make us who we are. But rather, it's that hard, the difficult time that make us who we are. You know, there's two reasons for afflictions in life. And one of them was, like David said, if I had not been afflicted, I would not have sought the Lord. But there's another reason for affliction, and that's to make you who God needs you to be. That's to bring you to a higher level. What's God doing right here? He told Gideon, there's too many. What I want to do is I want to compare our life, our plan that God has for us, with this story of Gideon. And what he's telling Gideon right here is that, Gideon, there's too much flesh for my plan. There's too much flesh involved right here. We got to get rid of some flesh. He's telling Gideon, in order for you to be useful to my plan, we've got to get rid of some flesh. Judges chapter 7 and 3. Now therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there return of the people 22,000, and there remain 10,000. What's God doing right here? He's removing all the people in your life that's producing fear, keeping you from doing what God wants you to do. You know, a study was done about the people you hang out with, and you are a product. You are an average of the people that you hang out with. So sometimes God has to remove those people out of your life to make you useful for his plan. A lot of times that's hard to stand, maybe. To understand, maybe sometimes that's family members or your best friend or people that you really leaned on, but God knows best, and there's a reason for it. Verse 4 through 7. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, By the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man into his place. Now at this point in our life, we're in really tough times. We may not understand what we're going through. The battle may seem like it's been going on forever. The storm in your life may seem like it's been going on forever. But it is truly the tough times in life that make you who you are. We're in the toughest times of our lives right here. And what's God doing? He increases the odds even more. By now we're thinking, my God, when are you going to show up? When are you going to show up? Tell somebody, say, my life's not falling apart, it's falling into place. My life's not falling apart, it is falling into place. God's telling them right here, this, the spirit needs to grow and the flesh has to die. I've got a little demonstration here. This right here is a very useful vessel. It's been through the fire. It's got a good handle on it. It's got no holes in it. It's very useful. This is my makeshift vessel out of Play-Doh here. This vessel right here is not useful for anything. Why? Because it hasn't been through the fire. What does the fire do? The fire takes everything out of it that makes it not useful. Takes everything out of it. I'm going to skip over to Daniel chapter 3, verse 19 through 22. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. Turning up the fire. And he commanded the most mighty men, remember that, he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now the king commanded that his strongest soldiers cast them into the fire. Sometimes God has to turn the heat up seven times hotter in our lives to destroy the strongest of our flesh, the strongest of our will. We think he's hurting us, but he's not. He's making us and he's molding us. We're on that potter's wheel. He's making us who we need to be. Chapter 3, verse 25, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Amen. The only thing that burned on these guys in this furnace is what had them bound. The only thing that burned is what had them bound. You understand why we have to go through what we go through? Our flesh is in constant warfare with God's plan and God's will and the Spirit. And in order for us to be useful to His plan, He has to break this flesh's will. He's got to break it down to where that we submit to the will of the Spirit instead of the will of our own flesh. I like to think about how many lives were affected right here when they seen these guys go through this furnace and come out safe and sound. You know, a lot of people throw their hands up and maybe give up on God and walk away during tough times. But if you will hang in there, I guarantee you, it's just like God told Satan. He said, "Have you considered my servant Job? Not to punish him, but to make him useful, to bring him to a higher level, to bring him to a double blessing." How many lives will be affected when you come out of this thing that you're in tonight? Because I'm going to tell you, just like spring and summer has a start and a stop time, God says to the storms in your life, He says, on this day it's going to start, and on this day it's over. So we don't have to worry. We just have to realize and know that we are in the hands of the Creator. No better hands to be, no better place to be. Let's go back to Judges chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, "Arise, get thee down, host, for I have delivered it into thy hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phur, thy servant, down to the host." There's one more thing that has to be removed out of our life right here. It's self-fear. God's done already removed the people in our life that were producing fear, and now He's working on our self-fear. Your self-fear has to be removed. Amen. You know, faith and fear both start out as a thought. Faith is what you hope will happen, what you believe will happen. And fear is just the thought of what you're afraid will happen. Both of these start out as a thought. But you can only have one or the other. You can't have them both at the same time. You cannot have them both at the same time. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So in order to have faith, fear has to be removed. We need to understand fear. We need to know how to deal with it, like Jesus did. You know, Jesus was praying in the garden. And this is how I like to face my fears. This is how I've learned to face my fears. Jesus was the Son of God, but He was also the Son of Man. He was a fleshly man. And when He's praying in the garden, He knows the things that He's about to face. He knows the torment and the beating that He's fixing to take. He knows He's fixing to have to give His life, even for sinners. But what does He do? How does He face His fear? He says, "God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, if this is your will, then thy will be done." So we know that we can't be in greater hands. So if that fear, that thought, fear of thought keeps entering your mind, just say, "God, if it's your will, let it be." And when you face that thing, your fears grow smaller. When you avoid them, they grow bigger. I've personally found this out in my life. You know, once we get to this place, we're in a pretty good place. Because self-fear is the last weapon that the enemy has against you at this point. He knows that that's all he's got. That's all he's got left. Judges 7, 10 through 15. "But if thou fear, go down. Go thou with Phur thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host." Then he went down with Phur his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host, and the Midianites and the Amalekites And all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the sea side for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay alone. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, and the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, he worshipped and returned in the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. When Gideon realized fear was the only thing standing in his way, and the enemy was more afraid of him than what he was of them, he went back, and it wasn't God speaking at this time, it was Gideon. The self-fear had been removed, and he said, Boys, we've got this thing. You know, I heard a story about fear the other day. There was a woman standing on the side of the street, and she was crying her eyes out. And this guy seen her standing there crying and thought maybe something was wrong. So he approached her and said, Ma'am, is something wrong? Is there something I can help you with? And she said, Well, I was just sitting here thinking that maybe one day if I got married and if me and my husband had a little girl and if I brought her out here shopping and if she was to get away from me and get into this busy street and get run over, how terrible that would be. You see what fear is? Fear is nothing but a thought. Nothing but a thought. It's the respect that we give it. It's how we react to it. Now the enemy right here knows. Gideon goes down, he finds out that the enemy is more afraid of him than what he is of them. See, when God told him, go down, I've delivered them into your hand. God had already put the fear on them. And Gideon is not walking in fear now, but the enemy is. And that's the same way the devil is right now. He knows that the only thing he's got against you is that fear. And once that you overcome that, there's no limit to what you will do for God. There's no limit to what you can do in life. I thank God for what he's done for me in my life and everything he's brought me through. I've seen some hard times, I've seen some good times, and I can tell you from experience, it's the tough times that has made me who I am. I wouldn't trade them for anything. And truly, everything that I've been through, God has brought me to a higher level. So don't be discouraged tonight about your battles and your trials that you're facing. No matter how long and how hard they seem and what length of time that you've been in it, just realize that you're in the hand of the Creator, and He loves you, and He's not here to punish you. He's here to bring you to a higher level. But the only way to do that, the only way to make a diamond, is to put that thing in the heat and the pressure and sometimes a lot of time. But in the end, a diamond is formed. So that's what God is doing to us tonight. I appreciate you guys for giving me the time to speak to you and share my heart. And do you have a song? I would encourage you guys tonight, thank you. If you have self-fear in you tonight, do like our perfect example Jesus did. He came and he said, God, I don't want to do this, but if it's your will, then so be it. And in doing so, you're gonna face that fear and cause that thing to grow smaller.
Everything's gonna be alright. And Lord, I see another Won't you hear my humble plea? She hears a voice still and low. He says, I've moved like that before. I'll do this little thing, child, and I'll give you so much more. And didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, oh, it hushed, and I gave you peace. And didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. And didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I would do it all again. And now she's talking to her father in a desperate hour of need. She said, I need a touch from you, Lord. Won't you hear my humble plea? She hears a voice still and low. He says, I've moved like that before. I'll do this little thing, child, and I'll give you so much more. And didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, oh, it hushed, and I gave you peace. And didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I? When you called, I walked right beside you.